Let's get right into the word. Pastor Dan's coming just to share his heart. I got to tell you this. About 5 years ago, I was down at YCF and Pastor Dan was ministering on water baptism and it whacked me. I mean, it just really impacted me. I'd never heard anybody speak on it the way he did, and he shared his heart. And I asked him if he would do that this morning, just kind of sharing his heart on water baptism. And we're just...
Would you look at the
clock? I am free.
Look at the clock. Pray for the pastor.
It's gone. I knew he was going to do that.
Look at God answered prayer. Amen. I'm going to put this back here because I'm really not going to set up for too long. There's grace here to just preach this principle out and receive the benefit of it today as the people get baptized and release faith. And wow. We're singing I'm Free, and I've been saying this a lot. I say either I'm the most deceived man on the planet, and I need serious ministry and counsel, or I'm free. It's one or the other. Either I'm way whacked and deceived, or I'm free. And here's why I believe I'm free is because I'm free from me. I'm free from myself. I'm free from what we inherited through the fall of man, and I've been brought back through this gospel to my original value. And the reason I'm alive and I'm free from me, it's like really a cool deal. That's why you can dance, really. Come on. Look, we bought into a lie when we started to preserve ourselves through sin. We were born into Adam. Think about this. Jesus said, if any man comes to me, let him first deny himself. I inherited myself when man fell from the original plan and value of God. And it became all about me. And it can never be all about me. It's all about Him. The Holy Ghost just gave me recently the word surrender, how to simply explain it to people, because we go to the altar and say we surrender, and we go and we still got a hold of us. And we go 20 times to surrender and we think we can never surrender. It's a perspective. It's a mindset. It's an eye that's narrow. Surrender simply means to relinquish every right in your life except the right to be like Him. Come on, think about that. I'm conformed to the image of His Son. Be holy, for I am holy. Who knows in and of myself I can't be holy, but if I yield to Him, let the weak say I'm strong, and I receive forgiveness and receive the identity that comes through Christ in this word. And then I'm getting the water baptism, and I'm just going to kind of preach it out. We're not going to take a lot of time there. We're going to explain the principle. But it's all about being born again, because the first time I was born into Adam. And it wasn't who I am. And God needs me born again. He gets it right this time through Christ. Water baptism is a huge part of that. Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, does a man go back into his mother's womb and come out a second time? No, it's a spiritual rebirth. Let's just look at Mark 16 quick. Thank you, Lord. Man, it's a big deal to be able to sing You're Free. I sing that Hillsong song. It says, yes, if I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If I'm healed, I'm healed. Anybody know that song? I can't play that anymore at home. I play that at home. I'm by myself. I go crazy. I do. I just start running through the house. I go, I'm free. I'm healed. I'm blessed. And I just accept it. There ain't nothing to look in the mirror and talk myself out of it. He wants me blessed. He wants me back with Him. He wants me to fulfill what He put me on the earth for. If that wasn't true, He'd have left me slip off and on by now. Or He'd have came and destroyed me Himself. He came and saved me. Don't forget that. God so loved the world. He sent His Son. Mark 16, are you there? I'm not. I'll get there. I feel happy today. I feel excited. If I live my life from the perspective of who I am in Christ and what I was created for, it'll keep me strong through everything in life. God's teaching me that discouragement is a major deception. We think we have a reason and a rationale to be discouraged. It's just because our perception and our focus is being deceived. See, because God never changes. God's will and plan and my value in God never changes. So for me to be discouraged, it's to get my eyes off the truth. The truth makes me free. So Satan never stops chattering. Like he chattered to Eve, well, did God really say? Does God really mean? Is God, is it really this way? Is it all that? And we go, huh, yeah, You do? The truth is in Jesus, and the truth makes me free. Discouragement is a deception, because it's all for him. A Christian's perspective is always the ability to receive the breakthrough, the victory. It's always, his eyes are always on the victory through the cross. Even when you're praying for healing or things to change, it's always about what's possible and what can and will happen by the mercy of God. It's not about what's not seeming to happen or change, even about ourselves. Mark 16, Jesus stood up and said something wonderful after he was raised from the dead. He said in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Did you hear what Jesus said? He who believes and is... Okay. Now let me just... I'm not being mean right now. I'm not, I'll stay smiling. I'll feel love in my heart. There's meanness isn't in me, okay? But we're crying out for freedom and grace, and we're running from legalism, and we're trying to, you know, make sure people don't bind us up in legalism. But yet when Jesus says, believe and be baptized, the church comes up with questions like, well, I don't need to be baptized to be saved. And we enter in questions that create legalistic mindsets and put people in, and all of a sudden we forget that, look, it's not even a debate. It's not even a question. Where's the question? Jesus said, believe and be baptized. There must be significance. He must be right. I bet you Jesus is right. I bet there's a reason. I bet he's not putting you through hoops. I bet he's not telling you to jump through hoops and please God and do this and do this and do this and you can be saved. I bet there's spiritual significance. I bet there's revelation to come. I bet you there's a release of faith. Therefore, grace will come and attend to that faith. So Jesus says it with purpose. Believe and be baptized and you shall be saved. Now the church has bought into this religious lie that it's just all about praying a prayer and getting your name in a book and going to heaven. It's about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. You shall be saved is an all-inclusive word that means total restoration of humanity, spirit, soul, and body. The word saved is sozo. It means total redemption of the human man, spirit, soul, and body. Believe and be baptized and you shall be saved, restored, brought back to original value as if you never ate the tree, as if sin was never on the earth. Yay. So when we ask questions like, well, do I need to be baptized to be saved? And I mean, I was in a group one time and a guy said, well, wait a minute here. I mean, if somebody gets saved on a plane that's crashing, he don't get a chance to get baptized, you're telling me he's going to hell. We're thinking way too much. Come on. God's a just God. God's a righteous God. If somebody turns his heart, who knows, it's the blood of Jesus that saves you, cleanses you, and washes away your sin. Who knows, in a situation when somebody gets a revelation on their deathbed, or somebody gets a true revelation in a time of despair and cries out, who knows that the blood of Jesus will save them? But if you have every opportunity to be baptized, then what reason would we have for not if Jesus said to? Come on, let's just be simple. It's all about humility. Let's get the little stuff out of the way. The little, you know, because our mom said never to do it, we're sure to try to do it, you know. Because dad said never go there, we're inching our way over there. That's the part that needs to die. That's what was inherited. We weren't created that way. You know, it's in the nature of the fall of man. You tell somebody to not use the side door for a reason, and it's inevitable. Somebody's just going to say, well, you know, my car is right out there, and I know he said not to, but you know, it's just like, we think that's normal. That's not normal. We became that way. Believe and be baptized and you shall be saved, sozoed, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, spirit, soul, and body, redeemed and restored. Nicodemus said, how can I get born again? Rick and Irene are here, and I met them through New Life for Girls. We did a New Life for Girls water baptism. And the first time I ever met you guys, and they brought like a whole lot of girls. We had fun, didn't we? Rick came up weeping and he said, I watched the Lord Jesus Christ break years of chains and heal and this and that by his Spirit through an act of faith in a moment. What years of counsel couldn't do, the revelation does. But here's what I saw. I saw water baptism. I can show you where it's symbolic to a grave. Okay? Let's do that first. Romans. Let's just look at Romans. And I know some say, well, he's not really talking about water baptism there. Well, let's look at the principle right here. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Okay, Paul's making a comment to the born-again believer. What a born-again believer does, he comes to the knowledge of truth. He realizes I'm living out of the inheritance of sin. I was born into Adam, and I've been following that instinct by nature. It was born into me. The baby is formed in the mother's womb in iniquity, the Bible says. You have a 1.5-year-old to 2-year-old, and they learn stuff like, no, mine. Nobody taught them that. It's in their nature. Those children, as precious as they are, when they become accountable, need born again. Two little 2-year-olds fight over a toy, and the one rips it out of the other one's hand and smacks the other one over the head. And they might have the most peaceful parents on the earth. You don't have to teach them that. It's inherited through the fall of man. You can see it through little children. It's amazing. We need to be born again. You follow me? So we don't want to continue in sin, because when we get born again, we realize we inherited this false rap. It's not my created value. Jesus went as far in Matthew 23 to say, call no man on earth your father. You have one father. Yet he says, honor your mother and father. He says, fathers, don't provoke your children. There's so many scriptures based and directed to earthly fathers. But yet Jesus in Matthew 23:9 says, don't call any man on earth your father. You have one father. And what he's saying is, don't regulate or relegate your life to natural means, natural heritage, natural inheritance, biological issues. You came forth from one, and he's the father. And in the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image. And yet people are born into certain scenarios, certain family settings, certain, and we weigh our lives and regulate and relegate our lives based on natural things. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. You have one true Father, and you came forth from Him. And yet you still have people say, yeah, but my daddy this, and yeah, but this, and this family, and this, and that, and natural things robbing us from eternal spiritual truth. Jesus is awesome when He says this stuff. It's because he's the word and he's truth, and truth is here to make us free. So a born-again believer sees that he's lived the life of a lie. He's inherited himself through sin. He's became completely self-preserving. That's why Paul writes, put off the former things, put off the old man, put on the new man. Because everything you and I grew up in and functioned in and learned to be was a lie. That's why bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, judgment, pride, jealousies, it's all contrary, it's all perverse, it's all against, it's antichrist, it's against the call and plan of God for our lives. And don't you sell into the thing that that's the way we're always going to be. We're just always going to be that way. Till God takes me off this good old earth and takes me to heaven, I'm just always going to be a failure, mess up, God understands. Don't you sell out to that. The Bible says, if I put on righteousness and I live righteous, it produces its fruit unto holiness. Where does the grace of God kick in and begin to lead a man? Be holy, for I am holy. I see myself through his identity. It turns my heart to him. He first loved me, and now I love him. And I keep his commandments because my desire has shifted and turned to truth, and truth makes me free. And I'm not biting my lip leaving here damned and bound to sin today to call in the blood of Jesus. I'm leaving here righteous in the sight of God, filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You get it? Sin wants to reproduce and reproduce after its own kind, but God wants to come and make us and mold us into what we were from the beginning. Okay. Certainly not. We're not continuing in sin because we realized we were sinners. We were solely selfish. We were living a lie. We were living for me and not for God and not for others. We even say, I love you for me. We do. You go serve in the church and nobody appreciates you, and you get hurt and you leave. Why? Because you were doing it for you. You were hoping somebody told you what you didn't believe you were. When they didn't believe or say that to you and you didn't believe or receive that, then you went somewhere else, but you were hurt and you're carrying even more pain, and then you try harder. And the more you're not affirmed by man, the more you're hurt and distant from God when you're already accepted in the Beloved. See, the twist of rejection is that you'll do your best in the natural to get someone to accept you, and the more it feels like they're not, the more rejected you are, and God's already sent His own Son to die for you and say, I love you. My acceptance is in Him. I hope you like me. I hope you love me. I hope you appreciate me. But you know what? I'm complete in Christ. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what causes you to love the unlovely. You don't just love those that love you. You love people created in the image of God. That's what gives you that ability. Your identity flows through Him. Amen. We're heading to water baptism. I promise. This is where we're going. See, how should we live in it any longer? Do you see that if you come to Jesus just because you're afraid of hell and you want to go to heaven, but you don't surrender and see that your life's lived apart from God and sin has separated you from the will, plan, and purpose of God and even fellowship with God, and you don't repent and change your mind and give that inheritance through sin back to God, then we're twisting the message of salvation. If I'm simply coming here and saying, if you don't know if you're going to heaven tonight, then pray this prayer with me and you're in. And there's no understanding of the old nature and the inheritance of sin. You're just going to pray that prayer and leave and be subject to live the way you lived before you came. I'm exchanging my life for His. I'm giving myself back to Him, and it's a covenant. It's like a marriage. All that I am, I'm giving to you. And He takes what was not of God and throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. And all that He is, He gives to me. And two become one. I'm in the Christ, and the Christ is in me. You get it? It's really cool. Okay. Or do you not know that as many as us were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Okay, let me spring off of this just for the sake of time. I know they took the clock down, but most of you are wearing them. Listen, serious. When He died, we died. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin, was made to be sin that we might become the righteous judgment of God. Okay? So we die with Him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ compels me because I judge this. If one died, all died. Then those that live because He died should no longer live for themselves, but for Him that died. See, He took me from this old identity of sin, and then through water baptism, there's a revelation of new life and new birth. And so you can see the water baptismal as a grave. It's symbolic of the tomb. They took the body of Jesus off the cross and put Him into the tomb. And on the third day, He rose again. We get to do that by faith. The reason you go under the water, it's an immersion. Jesus went into the tomb and His whole body went in. So we're going under the water, symbolic of a grave. In the likeness of the death of the Lord Jesus, we were buried with Him. We died the likeness of His death, and His death was to sin. And God atoned man and forgave man and released man. Now watch this. On the third day, He rose from the dead in the resurrection power and life of God. Even so, we should walk in the newness of life. When you go under in that grave, thank God He didn't tell you to stay under there 3 days. We ought to hold some of us under there for 3 days. That way we'll know we're dead, and when we come up, we know it's God. See? But you live by faith. It's an expression of faith. So you're going to the baptismal waters, symbolic of a grave. And there's a flip side to this that I want to share with you, and then we'll just go baptize. But you're going to the water baptismal, and you're aware that you lived your life for you. You're aware that you've missed many things concerning the integrity and morals of God. You've hurt people. You've been self-preserving. self-deserving, all that's been deceived. And you're saying, I'm saying goodbye to all this. I'm going in here to die. It's a place of death. Over at Your Christian Fellowship, we had one donated to us, had a big white encasing. And somebody said, that looks like a big white coffin. I said, good, it's where you go to die. And it had big, heavy lids, and we were tempted to put them down when the people in there dropped the lids. Come back tomorrow. Enough of that. You go under by faith. It's a faith confession. I'm going in to die. I've lived myself for me. I live my life for me, God. And I'm thanking you. You love me and you forgave me. And through the gospel, through Jesus, you showed me my true value. You showed me that I have purpose and there's integrity in this gospel. I surrender myself to you. I have a purpose to live, to manifest you. You're with me. Your grace is with me. I'm forgiven. I'm going in here and I'm declaring my old life dead. I'm putting off the old life. And I'm taking on the new. And you go in there, it's symbolic of the grave. And in the likeness of his death, you die. Even so, you rise. Now watch this. For if we've been united together, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, my heart's changed through this gospel. I haven't found a way through the grace of God to remain in sin. I found a way through the grace of God to be free from sin. You get it? Gee, it's beautiful. Through you the blind will see. We're going to sing it again. I'm free. You get it? By the way, I was recently at a conference where a lady 30 years blind saw, and a lady born deaf and mute both heard and spoke. 2 hours from here in our backyard. Through you, the blind will see. Let's keep on pressing in the gospel, church. Let's stop letting our experience back us off. And let's stop talking ourselves out of the possibilities of God's power. And let's keep on praying and believing because of the integrity of what this book says. God has exalted his word above his name. So let's stop talking ourselves out of the power of it. Let's stop praying for 14 people with cancer and seeing them all die and saying, well, we must be missing something. We need to find balance, da, da, da. Let's pray for number 15 because of what this book says. Until we get a breakthrough. Let's grow up into him in all things. Let's not diminish him to us. I just got on a little tangent there, but just receive it. Yeah, because the blind are seeing and the deaf are hearing and the mute are speaking and the poor are having the gospel preached. And blessed is the man who has no cause to be offended because of him. Whoa, that means don't look at your personal life and circumstances and say, what about me? That what about me was supposed to die at the baptismal waters. Whoa, see, it all fits. I know what I'm doing. Actually, I was on a tangent. God just loves me. Look, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I know I already read that. I'm emphasizing that. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Hebrews 2 says that the fear of death, the bondage of the fear of death, has been swallowed up in Christ. You're looking at a man that's never going to die. My eternity's sealed forever. It's never about me. It's always about him. You get it? And we fear death and we fear circumstances and we misread what it's really all about. When you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. When you squeeze a Christian, Christ should come oozing out everywhere. Why isn't it a strange day when gobs are squeezed and everything but him comes out? If you squeezed an orange and banana juice filled the cup, you'd go, what? When you squeeze us, guess who ought to flow out? Watch this. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives. Okay? Remember, when you go down, you're saying goodbye to the old, but when you come up, there's a new commitment. There's a new revelation. There's a new motivation for living. I was deceived. I was lost. I was living for me. It was all about me. I was touchy. I was offensive. I was offended. You know, I tell people, if you're touchy, you're going to be touched. Come on. The life he lives to God. When you come out of the water, There's a commitment. There's a, God, I lived for me, but now I'm living for you. I'm putting away all the things that were contrary to truth in our relationship and my purpose. And I'm dying to that. But when I come out in the likeness of your resurrection, infueled and empowered by your spirit and learning and growing and being filled with understanding that I walk out your truth all the days of my life. The life I now live, I live to God. There's a surrender, a relinquishing of every one of your rights except the right to be like him. Okay? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves, this is what we're saying, be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Why? It's through understanding. It's exposed now. I see that it's never God, never profitable. It's always about me. So if I sell out me and I go back to the truth and start living for God and living for you, that's where freedom is. True freedom. Okay? So watch this. So we see that the water baptism is symbolic to a grave. It's a place to go die and be buried in the likeness of his death so that we can live in the likeness of his resurrection. When New Life for Girls came, I got this revelation at the baptism where it was really rich. I don't know if you guys remember, but I saw the waters as the womb of God. And I prophesied it out, and the girls just kept getting whacked. The Holy Ghost just hovered there, and they'd come up, and all these chains and things were breaking and melting off. And here's what the Lord showed me. Do you know that natural things reveal spiritual truths all the time? Who knows that God created us the way he created us? As far as in certain, now, a lot of what we study now, nature, emotion, psycho, it's all through the fall, so you got to be careful with that. What I'm saying is he created women to bear children. And your original value, that child is conceived in your womb and it's in there forming. I call it crock pot, but people just are like, that's not intimate. It's brewing in there. It's being loved and cared for. It's just good. And it's just waiting for the time to be born. But what's the first sign of birth? The water breaks. Okay? God did that. God created us that way. Because there's great significance there. See, he quenched all unrighteousness in the days of Noah. He covered the earth with water. And he flooded and drowned out all unrighteousness. And 8 righteous souls were saved through the water. And what came through the water was 8 righteous souls. And unrighteousness was swallowed up. It's a type and shadow of baptism. You get it? They came out of the land of bondage and they passed through the Red Sea, through the waters, into the wilderness, from the wilderness to the promised land, through the waters of the Jordan. Here's this little baby, and the mother says, honey, the water broke. And they run to the delivery because they know the baby's coming forth. I saw at New Life for Girls the baptismal like the womb of God. And he said, the Holy Spirit said this, and he said, I'm the midwife. I'm right here to receive that child as it comes out and just show it to Papa. Say, look, a brand new baby girl, brand new baby boy. I like that. In other words, you're going back to do it over again. The first time I was born, it was a mess. It was a lie. It was sin. It was born into Adam. But the second Adam, the last Adam has come, and now I have the right to be born again. And I'm going back into the womb, back under the waters, because I can't crawl back into mama. That's not the answer. But I can crawl into God by faith. And I can get in under there. And when I come out by faith in the newness of life. A brand new baby child, first day, newborn, new beginning. I'm alive in him. And the Holy Ghost scoops me up and says, yeah, ain't it grand? You get it? That's intimate to me. That's deep to me. And unless you be like a child, you're not going to by any means see the kingdom. But see, you can tell I'm all messed up and I'm pretty childlike because I just believe that. I mean, I'm a child of God. When he redeemed me, when he saved me and cleansed me, I'm cleansed. When I'm free, I'm free. It's beautiful. So that's the side I see of water baptism as the womb of God. It's a grave, but as you get in to die, the gospel's cool. The way to receive is to give. The way to live is to die. I die so life, unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll spring up and it'll bear much fruit. So when I come out of those baptismal waters, today when you come out of those baptismal waters, there's a commitment, there's an acceptance of forgiveness and mercy, and then there's this submitting to God that, God, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to live by faith, and I'm going to receive your grace, and I thank you for being my daddy God. And you go under there knowing when you come out, I had one lady cry and just say the waters were running over her, and she had this incredible experience. She said, I literally knew what it meant to feel clean. She said, the water was running down, and I'm so clean before your throne. The power of the blood of Jesus is phenomenal. The water baptism is an act of faith. You go to die. Grace attaches to faith. It's been stripped out of our preaching virtually in a lot of the church. You hear these big altar calls, 1,000 saved, and not one mention of water baptism. And people continue to live in identity crisis and past sins and not knowing who they are and still bound by the weakness instead of swallowed up by his strength. No connection, no grace flow, no grace flow because no faith, no release of faith that I'm dead to live. So we pray a prayer and feel the same in many cases. Or 2 days later, hear the lie, like Pastor was talking about the parable of the sower, and we quickly feel like we've lost our salvation. Because there's no grace of identity change, no grace and understanding of, I'm a new creature in Christ, God loves me. Your heart becomes pure through it all. You see God's first love. Even if you sin, he says, simply confess it. He doesn't even say beg for forgiveness. Just confess it. Stay aware. Stay out of denial. Just confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What's remaining? Righteousness. Real quick, here's the deal, and then we're wrapping up. Nowhere in the book of Acts can you find people getting saved and not water baptized the same day. Now, we've slipped a long way from this truth. We do annual, biannual, and sometimes we don't even mention it. If it was that significant in the new church, there has to be a power there. Because it's a sign of covenant. I'm in the Christ. I'm in the family. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm clean. I'm free. And there's grace that attaches to that faith. In the New Testament, when they get saved, they got water baptized. You keep seeing, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They were baptized in Jesus. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. Cornelius's household got the Holy Ghost first. While he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell, and they all started praying in tongues. And the first thing out of Peter's mouth was, hey, look, they got the same spirit we got. What forbids them from water? Let's baptize them. It's the first thing he thought. Philip crawls up on the eunuch's chariot, or whatever, they're hauling him on there in those days. Philip crawls up on and he starts to read Isaiah 53, and he says, who can explain it? And Philip starts talking about Jesus. And if you look in Acts 8, Philip explained Jesus to the eunuch. He started there and explained Jesus, or preached Jesus to him. The very next verse says, and passing by some water, the eunuch said, look, water, what forbids me from being baptized? That means when he preached Jesus, he preached water baptism. He didn't preach Jesus without preaching water baptism. Because see, it's not some cheap, quick out. It's not some quick prayer on a street corner. It's not something where we're looking for Christian identity. Hey, I led two to the Lord today. You might be amazed stopping on the street corner, not even mentioning sin, the death to sin, the new life in Christ, and the power of the blood, and the conversion, and all that good stuff. And you might just get to pray a quick prayer, and 5 years later they come out of the bar with a woman that's not their wife, and you try to hand them a track, and they say, hey, prayed that prayer 5 years ago. Thanks anyway, pal. There has to be an understanding of death and life, newness of life, and it comes through water baptism. The beautiful thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead wants to dwell in us and come out of us like a river, because it's all about kingdom. It's not about heaven. It's about kingdom of heaven on the earth. That's why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to get water baptized today. I don't know how you want to handle that as far as you know who's going to do it or what. I'll let you up here in a minute. But do you understand? I just did that, touch that Acts thing. There's a lot we can say. Nowhere did they preach the gospel without water baptism in the book of Acts. And everybody was getting baptized on the same day. It was their immediate thought, it must be powerful. No wonder, watch this. We're not condemned in this, just no wonder it slipped away. Because Satan's threatened by these things that carry power, so he tries to sweep them under the rug, and we keep doing the religious Christian thing and miss the power and the impact of faith and grace. Okay? We've preached a very cheap message. It's a message of give back what you inherited through sin, called yourself, so that you can live for what you're really created for, Him and His glory, and that's the place of freedom. And that's what I do when I go to the water baptism. I'm selling out, I'm giving it all up, calling it all dead. A new baby is born. You get it? Amen. So we're going to do that today. Go ahead.